This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
I'm not going to any medical diagnosis. I saw him in the locker room afterwards right there. Just checked on him in terms of where he'll go toward next week. Dan, I'm going to answer for you right now. We'll see where he goes. Obviously, we're all hopeful that he'll be back and he'll be healthy. We'll see where our medical the number of positions going forward for this week.
Hour number three, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. And Bart Scott, what hour is this?
The Power Hour.
And we got to bring some power into the show, and we do that with Super Bowl champ Chris Canty, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. CeCe, what's up, man?
What's up, fellas? Now, listen, I'm confused because last week late, you changed the Power Hour. You made it the 1 o'clock hour. Now you're saying the Power Hour is back to being the 2 o'clock hour. So I'm going to need for you fellas to make up your mind. Which is the Power Hour?
Well, understand, yeah, there was a little bit of a was different. We had Tony Atlas.
Yeah.
On, man. And we were talking about Terry, my bad.
What'd you say? Terry?
Tony?
Teddy?
Teddy. Tony, I was going to my wrestling day.
Jam.
What are them tees?
No, you know Tony
Teddy
Atlas.
Teddy Riley?
No. Well, Tony Atlas actually used to wrestle with The Rock's dad. You know what I'm saying? So I get my wrestling.
Just get to it.
What happened was, that's exactly what that moment was.
I'm going
to need some more consistency out of you, just like we need more consistency out of Zach Wilson. How about that?
Oh, she had to go there. Yeah, there was
Power Hour because we were talking about one of the greatest matchups, trilogies of the boxing match. Man, did you partake?
I did partake, and I saw that beatdown that Tyson Fury put on Deontay Wilder, and it was like you fellas said, man. I mean, you know, Deontay Wilder is not in the same class of boxer as Tyson Fury, and that was on display in their second bout, but I mean, in the third one, that point was just driven home.
Yeah,
like Tyson Fury just outclassed Deontay Wilder. That one hitter quitter only goes so far when you're talking about somebody that's as technically sound as Fury.
Yeah, great boxer always beats great puncher. We saw that even with Mike Tyson going against Lennox Lewis. Even how savage he was, he couldn't get in. He fought tall. You know, I thought Wilder still won by losing because he showed a lot of heart. And listen. Yeah. Anybody not named Tyson Fury, I think he gives a run for their money because he always has the eraser. You talk about going against King Kong Ortiz, who's a great boxer, but it's a little long in the tooth. You know, maybe Usyk. I just want to hope that, you know, we don't have to play the politics and we can get Usyk versus Tyson Fury so Tyson can have all the belts, so everything has to go through him. And Anthony Joshua now, you know, is on the other end of it where he was talking about he gets the higher perks. Now the big draw is Tyson Fury. And is it just me, but is Tyson Fury a more likable Conor McGregor?
I don't know if he's a more likable Conor McGregor. I will say this. He's representing for all the dad bods out there. I mean, Tyson Fury's body is the model for peak human performance when it comes to athletic competition. It's not what we once were, Bart. It's not that at all. It's what Tyson Fury is right now. Like, that's the crazy part. Like, you look at that matchup, you're saying, man, how is this guy pummeling Deontay Wilder? But, I mean, it just goes to show you, man, there's something to be said for being a really good boxer and being fundamentally sound, and you saw that on display yet again in the trilogy of this matchup.
Oh, but we've seen it before, man. All these super lean guys, right? You know, they got all that lactic acid. They like Ferraris. They always in the garage, right? They're not sustainable. They always got a hamstring. They always got a tweak. Like, who's the old yoked up dude that you played with that was always hurt? I had plenty of them.
I mean, Brian Bosworth is the poster boy in the NFL for that, right? Like, it was all good until he ran into Bo Jackson at the goal line.
Well, that was his unofficial retirement. I played with LeRon Landry, right? Puffy, right?
Brandon Jacobs took care of that.
Yeah, yeah, always hurt, though. Always in this. He's the only dude I ever saw that went to the bathroom with a full duffel bag. I'm like, bro, like, you can leave your duffel bag outside. Like, why are you going to the bathroom with a whole duffel bag?
Speaking of former Giants and former Jets, both teams, Chris Canty. This is an amazing stat. Both teams are a combined 19-50 since the 2017 season.
Ugh.
I mean, 19-50 for both. Like, I always say this about New York. We have two of everything. How could you have two of everything and they both suck? How is that possible? Are they the worst franchises right now in the NFL?
Well, Alan, because we're having a Super Bowl 46 reunion this weekend, culminated in the game at MetLife against the Rams, I'm
going to
refrain from saying anything
really
negative about the New York Football Giants this week, just because I got to go over to the building and I got to see some of them people. So I'm not going to be negative with the Giants. But when it comes to the state of New York football overall, man, I just feel like there hasn't been any consistency in terms of having a plan and having a direction. Like, even with Dave Gettleman, since he's been on the job in 2017, like, there was no consistency in terms of their approach. When he took over, it wasn't a full rebuild. They were going to try to retool on the fly around Eli Manning, and the result was you set the rebuild process back a couple of years by not acknowledging where your franchise was. You were a 13-loss team in 2017 when Gettleman took over. That should have been the start of the rebuild, right, but it wasn't. And so by trying to add Saquon Barkley and signing Nate Solder in free agency, you thought that you were going to just kind of retool this thing to take advantage of Eli Manning in the twilight of his career, and that blew up in your face. And so you were forced to try to rebuild in the middle of Dave Gettleman's tenure as general manager. That all went left. And then as far as the Jets are concerned, man, listen, they tried to reset with Sam Darnold being their new franchise quarterback, and they put him with Todd Bowles, who was a coach that was entering Sam Darnold's rookie season on the hot seat. Yep. You fired him. You ended up signing Adam Gase. That was an unmitigated disaster. And now you're talking about moving on from the head coach and the former quarterback to draft a new franchise quarterback with a new head coach in year three of Joe Douglas's tenure. So for me, when you start talking about where New York football is at, I would just say the lack of consistency in terms of the approach and the overall philosophy is what's taken it so long to get these programs back to the point where they can be consistently competitive.
Constantly control, alt, delete with these two franchises, and you can never really get into a rhythm when that happens. Now, I got to correct myself because I read it wrong. It's not a combined 19 and 50, of course, since 2017. They're both 19 and 50.
Yeah.
Like, so each franchise 19 and 50, which makes it even more amazing. But the game yesterday, now I know you're a former Cowboy, so part of you also, you know, was happy because you got to see Dallas really starting to continue to, at least maybe this season, prove themselves, as we're always going to be doubters because there's always a time when the Cowboys, once things start going well, something always seems to, you know, take out the rug from underneath them. But that was quite a performance by them. But on the Giants side of things, it was a brutal performance because of what happened, the injury to Barkley, and now it's like again an injury to him, and you feel for him and how hard he had to work to get back, looking like maybe he was starting to feel good, then the ankle happens. And then Daniel Jones, who I think, Chris, I mean, I said he's a stud. I mean, he's had a hell of a season. He's become such a huge positive for this franchise. At least you might have your answer at quarterback. And then he goes out with a concussion, a very scary situation for him. Is this a game that when you look at the Giants and think, are they going to build off that game against New Orleans, then this happens, do you think, man, this just tells you this is just not going to be the year?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's going to be the year, Allen, starting out 1-4. Daniel Jones being in concussion protocol and Saquon Barkley to miss the next several weeks with an ankle injury, it doesn't feel like it's going to be the year. I mean, you got so many of your skill position players out of the lineup. Yesterday you had no Andrew Thomas as well. And it feels like the light bulb for him as a player has cut on this year because he's been playing good football. But, I mean, you know, you thought that this was the season that Daniel Jones as well as this program under Dave Gettleman could turn the corner, and it just hasn't worked out through the first quarter of the season for whatever reason. If you want to point to injuries being the factor or the defense getting out to a slow start, whatever. But, I mean, it just doesn't feel like the Giants are going to have a season representative of the expectations that owner John Mara set this offseason, right? He said, we had a good team on paper coming into this season, but it's time for that to be reflected on the field. I didn't think that he put a playoff mandate out there, but from his comments, it sounded like he fully expected for this team to be in playoff contention once we get to the month of December, and it doesn't look like the Giants are going to be in that position. So, you know, it's going to be tough, man. And with the schedule that they got coming up, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of relief in sight. You got the Rams this weekend, then the Carolina Panthers, then you're at Arrowhead, and then you got the Raiders before the bye week. So, you know, the Giants have got to figure out a way to get off the schneid, and I'm not quite sure how that happens given where their defense is at and where their skill positions are at in terms of injuries on the offensive side of the ball.
So it's crazy, right? Because both teams in New York have two first-round draft picks next year. I'm going to ask you this. Which one do you trust to make the right picks? And is Dave Gettleman going to make the picks for the Giants next year?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing, Bart. I don't know who's going to be making the picks for the Giants. I think so much of that is yet to be determined. With the Jets, I mean, it's going to be Joe Douglas. And if you look at his record in terms of drafting players, it looks pretty good, especially in the early rounds. So we'll see what ends up happening there. But, you know, the Giants are in a tough spot. Make no bones about it. I mean, this is a team that had high expectations. They spent a lot of money in free agency, over $100 million in contracts. And it doesn't look like they're going to get the return on the investment. And on top of that, now they're in the uncomfortable position of trying to evaluate their quarterback, Daniel Jones, who's in his third season and has yet to be able to complete a full season. So, you know, that's one of the things that you have to worry about. I mean, there's a strong chance that Daniel Jones won't be available to play this coming week against the L.A. Rams. And then if you're talking about, well, what does the organization do with his fifth-year option and a commitment beyond the 2022 season, I think you have to have some serious doubts about what's happening with the franchise. So I like what we've seen from Daniel thus far this season, but when you start to take into account the struggles that he had with the turnovers his first 2 years and now dealing with this, as it seems like he's turning a corner, you have to start asking the question, when you have the kind of draft capital that the Giants do in the upcoming draft, do we consider moving on from Daniel Jones similarly to what the Jets did with Sam Darnold?
Speaking about mandates, I'm on mandates to reset the show. So this is Barton Hahn, you know, we're sitting with Super Bowl champion. That pains me to say, Chris Canty. But
we appreciate you and Rex Ryan, Bart. We appreciate y'all, man.
I'd much rather talk
about this on Organized Chaos next week, okay, would you? We'd appreciate that, man. Give you guys a plug, man. Remember that game on Christmas Eve. Never forget, Bart.
Why are you doing this?
Never forget.
Thanks a lot, Chris, and you're welcome, right? I just circle of trust with that. Now, you know, I want to talk about, you know, we know that Daniel Jones looks like he's going to be here next year because I think, listen, he's a stud. If you continue to build around him, I think you'll be okay. But the $15 million elephant in the room is Saquon Barkley. Like, now, this was an important season for Saquon, not just to come back from the injury, but also to prove that he was worthy of a long-term deal. So if Saquon Barkley is going to be on the shelf for a couple of weeks with the high ankle sprain, like,
how do you evaluate that?
Yeah, how do you evaate that? And then how do you make a decision on giving them $15 million, even if you give them the franchise tag, because of Kamara, because of Ezekiel Elliott? That number's pretty high, too. So, you know, what do you think they do with Saquon Barkley moving forward if this season is going to be, once again, a failure?
Well, Bart, they already picked up his fifth-year option. So 2022 is guaranteed. He's going to be here. Now, what do you do beyond 2022 is the question. And right now, I don't know how you could commit significant dollars to Saquon on a long-term contract given the injury history. I mean, he's another guy that just can't stay healthy. He can't stay available to you. I mean, Herm Edwards said it best. The best ability is availability. And that hasn't been something that Saquon has been able to do. So for a team to be in the position that the Giants are in and not necessarily get the production out of the run game that you would want to get when you take a guy with the second overall pick in the draft, I think there's some serious questions around Saquon and his long-term future with the New York Football Giants. But I think a lot of that is also going to depend on who your general manager is going to be by the time it comes down to making a decision about his contract long-term. Because we've seen in the NFL, if your GM drafts you, that gives you a little more job security than if you're going into a situation where there's no allegiance to anybody in the front office. So that I think that remains to be seen. But there is another significant question mark when it comes to the long-term future of yet another top 10 draft choice for the New York Giants.
All right, Chris Canty, that's enough Giants talk here. I got to get to my team. And what I actually need is from both of you is a ruling. And it's on something that I tweeted yesterday in the first half, early in the morning, when the team is in London, clearly not ready to play against the Falcons. And I simply said this, and it was based on nothing more than comments we've already heard and then things I was seeing different players after one bad throw or another bad throw, missed pass, all those things. And I said this, Zach Wilson's teammates have been very supportive thus far, but they're going to quickly lose patience with him with a performance like this. The kid's a mess. And he was in that first half. And the guys were giving him side eyes. I mean, you saw Corey Davis give him a look like, man, I mean, that's behind me. Where there was one simple, I think, just a check down that went to somebody's feet. Like, there were just passes that you just Crowder. Was, yeah, and that James Crowder also gave him a look. Like, it was just things that just should have kept the offense moving that just wasn't happening. Now, I'm not saying you give up on him and nobody wants to deal with him anymore, But you guys are the players. You tell me. That does happen. There is that human nature of, I get you're young and we've got to live with your mistakes. But man, I put in the same amount of work you do to get ready for this game. And if I got to put up with this, that's going to start to bother me. Was I completely out of line to suggest that teammates could start losing patience with him if he keeps up what we saw in that first half?
No, you're not out of line, Alan. I mean, at the end of it, this is how guys feed their families, man. You're depending on your teammates to get their jobs done so the team can be competitive so you can try to win football games. And if you win football games, therein lies your job security. So, no, you're not out of line for suggesting that. And Zach Wilson has to be better when it comes to making routine throws look routine. That's one of the things that he hasn't done. And I was critical of Mike LaFleur in the Jets offense early on in this season, especially after that Patriots game, because they weren't giving Zach Wilson enough easy throws to get into a rhythm early on in the game. Like, they weren't giving him enough layups, right, just so he can find a rhythm, you know, get some confidence. But in this game, they tried to find those throws in the first half, and Zach Wilson was just missing them. The short to intermediate passing game, like, he's got to be better in terms of putting it on his receivers. He's got to be more accurate. The throw that you were talking about, the Jamison Crowder on the bubble screen in the red zone, that is a throw that your quarterback has to make. Or how about the play-action pass on the first series of the game where he's behind Corey Davis? Those are throws that you have to hit. Mike LaFleur is dialing up those plays so that Zach Wilson can get into the flow of the game and the offense overall can have a little more success early on than what they've shown throughout the course of this season. Allen, to be in a position through five games where you've got a total of 13 first-half points, that's ridiculous.
And none in the first quarter. They never score.
And none in the first quarter. Yesterday you had, what, 3 points at halftime. You had 80 total yards, and you had 4 total first downs.
Right.
Yeah. That's a problem. Your offense has to get out to a faster start. Now, that being said, if I'm going to be critical of the offense, I also got to be critical of the defense. Because the way that they played early on in that game, they might as well have not even boarded the flight to London. That's how bad that was. I mean, the first three drives for the Falcons were scoring drives, all aided by penalties from the Jets defense. When you got a rookie quarterback, you don't have that kind of margin for error. You've got to be better. And then the linebackers and safeties, they got to be better in terms of their communication and being on the same page. I get that you play a lot of man coverage, but yesterday Matt Ryan was picking you apart in those intermediate zones with play action passing. You have got to be better in that area. That's not something that we've seen from the Jets early on in this season. Yesterday, that was atrocious.
Those
were some of the things that I saw on the defensive side of the ball. If they get those things cleaned up, maybe that takes a little more pressure off of your young quarterback and your offense as a whole.
Well, they thought they were going to eat, right? Because they thought, oh, Matt Ryan, I'm able to get to him. You know, we're able to get to Tannehill. They don't have their receivers. And they did a horrible job, I believe, and maybe they should have just bracketed Pitts and they should have bracketed Cordarrelle Patterson. They should have bracketed him, you know, and let somebody else beat him, much like they did the week before. But they were too arrogant, thinking that they would just be able to get there. And Matt Ryan's no fool. He's seen it all, and he just got the ball out of his hand so quickly that it really didn't matter. Here's my problem with LaFleur, right? This offense is supposed to be predicated on running the ball, right? They ran the ball 17 times last game, and that's unacceptable because you can't get those easy throws or those, you know, rhythm throws if the offensive line can't roll off and get some positive yards running the football. Right, they have to do a better job with that. And it just seems like LaFleur is a little bit, you know, outmatched, right? And he doesn't have any way to kind of scheme up some of these great passes. It's like Matt Ryan was getting the easy type of stack routes, right? You know, a hook here with a dig behind it, the easy throws. Mm-hmm. And LaFleur doesn't do a good enough job because they don't ever attempt to run the ball. And all I've ever heard about Shanahan, it don't matter who's the running back. We're going to run the ball. We're going to eat. You got Moses. You got Fant. You got Vera Tucker. These are guys that are supposed to be maulers in the run game, but you're not doing a good enough job in establishing that. And that puts everything on a young rookie. We look at Justin Fields. He only threw the ball 20 times yesterday, only completed 11 of them, but that was enough to keep the game from getting out of hand and allowing the defense to be able to eat and get rest. You talk about it, that defense had 31 snaps in the first quarter compared to 6 on the offensive side of the ball. Of course, like, you know, it looks like they come off their first 15, and their first 15 is all damn passes.
Yeah, I mean, Bart, you're right about that. I mean, listen, you got to find that balance on the offensive side of the ball. If for no other reason, try to make sure that you keep your defense off the field, right? You don't want the Falcons to be able to dominate time of possession early on in games. But that's been a theme throughout the early going for the Jets. I mean, it happened last week against Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee dominated time of possession up until the fourth quarter. Like, that was a problem. And so, you know, to your credit for pointing this out, Mike LaFleur has got to find a way to be able to get the run game going. But I think with your offensive line, you got a little bit of mixing and matching going on. You got Fant, you got Elijah Vera Tucker, and you have Moses as guys that can be maulers. But McGovern and Greg Van Roten aren't maulers.
Yeah, barbecue chicken.
Exactly. So, I mean, how are you going to have a power run game, a gap-blocking run game, when two of your interior trio are guys that can get knocked back
and allow that defensive
front to reestablish the line of scrimmage? So, I mean, I think this is a talent issue as well for the Jets, and that's why I think Jets fans are going to have to be a little more patient than they want to when it comes to Zach Wilson's overall development. You just hope that this new regime doesn't ruin the kid on the way to getting the pieces around him right in order to get this team in position where they can be competitive.
And that is the biggest concern for me. But the good news is, Chris Canty, that the hockey season starts this week in New York and the basketball season starts in 2 weeks. So at least we've got something beyond the football teams. Thanks, Chris. Always good to talk to you, my man.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
All right. Chris Canty giving us that straight talk. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So Friday, we were so optimistic. Jets and Giants had a chance to get some wins this weekend. Yeah. We were looking forward to it. And that didn't happen. But there's a bigger issue brewing among the Jets that we need to talk about. And Bart Scott certainly has been talking about. But now a current player on the roster has chimed in on it. And it could become a big problem for this team during the bye week. We will discuss coming up next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
From the NFL.
I can't put the Colts and the Super Bowl in the same sentence until I see who Carson Wentz is.
To college.
It'll be interesting to see what Oregon brings. I know their second
football lives here. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Every weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
You know, Coach Sala's message is we're going to figure it out. We really feel like we're right there as a team. And it's just the little things, and it's being able to start fast. So it's a process, but we're going to keep getting better every week.
You got to learn how not to lose. And when you start to learn how to win, you got to learn how to close.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. We're brought to you by Goodyear. With you for every mile on the road to greatness, Bart Scott. Goodyear, more driven. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 is the number to be part of the conversation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Good time to take some calls right now. And you know what, Bart? As we're talking to the New York teams and the Giants, there's only one person that we need to talk to today. And that is, of course, Tessa from New Jersey. Tess, I can only imagine how you're feeling right now.
I can't keep doing this every week for like the next 85 years. Because I feel like I've been complaining, Alice, since you've been on a night show. Mm-hmm. It's like I can't keep doing this. But I do have one quick football question. The Chargers, as a football fan, it was amazing, the Chargers and the Browns game.
Yeah.
But is it that their defense, I mean, their offense was that good, or was their defense is that bad? So I want you guys to answer that. And then my question about the Giants is, you know, Tony is a clown for what he did, but he's going to be awesome. But my question is this. Why can't we get it corrected on a defense? Like, at least just show a little bit of improvement. 200 yards on the ground? Like, it's like wide open in the middle. I don't understand what a same. I know we lost Blake Martinez. I know he's huge. But we're the same defense. All I kept praying was, please don't let us get beat by 45. Okay, we got beat by 44. It's still disgusting. Like, why is the defense so bad, guys? I don't understand it. Bradberry, like, were you, God forbid, on something last year? This year you're playing clean? Like, he is a total different player this year. I don't understand why are we this bad on defense and we can't correct something. We can't correct it. Like, I just don't understand. I just was sitting there with my head, like, hurting. We need to get a new strength coach because everybody's got hamstring issues and we're just a mess. We're just a mess. I don't know.
This is the problem is, right? Success in the league isn't owned, it's rented, right? And it's leased. And Bradberry came out, and what people do when you become successful is they figure out a way to make their name off of yours, right? So now people are saying, oh, this the guy? Mm-hmm. Let me study this guy. Let me see what he does well, what he doesn't do well. And Bradberry, sometimes when you start reading your press clippings, you think that you don't have to put in the same work to come in and prove that you're worth the money. You know, you look at it with Leonard Williams as well. He was dominant last year. 13 sacks. He was a beast. He's not the same player. And maybe they have to consider moving him back to the outside to defensive end so he can be dominant again. But the problem is the reason they moved him to the inside is because they lost Dalvin Tomlinson, who I thought was always the glue to that defensive line, right? So now he's going to Minnesota. And now you're starting to see the warts because now, you know, you look at Big Cat. Now he has to play inside when outside he had the advantage from a strength standpoint. Now he's in there fighting with these maulers. You know, Dexter Lawrence is good, and I love what Aziz is, but they got pushed around. And they got pushed around. And this is one of those games when you knew what it was all about. You knew it was about can you match up with Zach Martin? Can you match up against Tyron Smith? And they lost the battle, you know, at the line of scrimmage. And just some of the smart plays when you talk about whenever you have a four-man – you know, line. That's why I don't like four-man lines because advantage to me, offensive line, because now they have five against your four and they can choose how they want to block it. On that big, long touchdown run where, you know, the Giants were still battling and Zeke, you know, made the run up the right sideline, all they did was a TE stunt because they had natural angles on each other. So they just down-blocked and kicked out and got the edge on the linebacker who never saw it coming, who didn't think that the run was coming to a side because Zeke was set to the left side of Dak. But the run was all along coming to basically an outside sweep. So I think they were out-coached and they were out-schemed yesterday. And I think part of that is because, you know, you got guys playing out of position. Even though Big Cat has came in his league as a 3-4 big end, that's really a defensive tackle. But he had guys on the outside where you couldn't double-team him. Now he's in the inside. He should be back outside.
With the injuries and everything else, are they just in trouble? Like, is this defense doesn't show you what it showed you last year, and now you have all these injuries on the offensive side of the ball? I mean, is this team in trouble?
This is what you have to ask yourself, Alan, right? We know that the talent is there, especially on the defensive side of the ball. The talent is there. The problem is, do they have the right people to really feature the talent? That's the issue, right? Because
the right people.
The right coaching.
Oh.
The right coordinators. Right. And I know
So you're talking about Patrick Graham?
Yeah. I mean, you talk about, listen, with this type of talent, I mean, and I'm not just saying this because I played for him. A guy like Rex would have a field day with these type of people. Right. You talk about Bradberry, like Dennis Thurman would not allow him not to be a great player. Right. You talk about, you know, what they're able to do at the cornerback position. The talent is there. But why isn't the scheme matching the productivity that you expect?
Last year.
To a certain degree. What I'm saying is, when I look at this team and this unit should be dominant. You understand what I'm saying?
Giants defense.
This should be dominant. This should be like top five defense when you look at the positions. They have everything you need. Aziz is a great pass rusher. You talk about Dexter Lawrence. He should be one of the best tackles in the game. What isn't he understanding? Leonard Williams, we know what he is. That's the reason you paid him the money. Logan Ryan is a great veteran. Would you take Jim Leonard or Logan Ryan?
Jim Leonard?
My point is, like, Rex did more with
less talent. Jim Leonard, right. Yeah, right. That's from your days.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But they have two very good safeties.
Two good corners
have not been an issue or shouldn't be an issue because there's talent there.
And defensive line shouldn't be an issue.
Right.
Dexter Lawrence, first round pick. You know, Leonard Williams was a top five or six pick. right? Mm-hmm. Ozeez should have been a first-round draft pick, but it's because of his medical history that he wasn't. I just don't understand why they aren't getting the productivity, because they have first-rounders sprayed all around, all across this defense. They should be way better, more dominant. They should be feared.
Now let's continue with the calls. We go to John in North Carolina. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, guys, love your show. Appreciate what you do. I was just wondering, man, about the overreaction Monday. Sam Darnold, man. I'm a Carolina Panthers fan. Do you think this is the real Sam Darnold, or the first 3 weeks are the real Sam Darnold?
Interesting, isn't it? He throws three interceptions, and really, you could argue is the reason why they lost that game—a game to the Eagles they should have won. They should have won that game. They should have been the better team. He turns the ball over, and anybody from New York that watched that game was like, yeah, we've seen that guy too. As special as he's been, Bart, in the beginning, that game's on him, and he knows it. He admitted it.
It is on him, right? And listen, I think it's somewhere in between, right? He's a young player that's trying to learn, you know, what his limitations is. And sometimes he's pushing the ball a little bit too much or forcing the ball too much because he's feeling good about himself and not playing within himself. But I think it's a little bit of both, and I think he's going to be able to continue to develop. He's still a young quarterback, only going into his fourth year, and he had a bad game. He had an off game, but listen, I think that you still can believe in him. He's going to make better plays, and I think them using his athleticism is going to help him to mature. Remember, you have to erase 3 years of all the bad coaching that he received and the bad habits that he developed because he wasn't protected, because he didn't have the weapons. So he was out there trying to make things happen, to make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now, especially when McCaffrey comes back, it's going to give him a sense of comfort, the fact that all he has to do is find McCaffrey and everything will be okay, and he'll be able to just hand the ball off.
All right, we'll get back to the calls again. We have more coming up. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Overreaction Monday, reaction to both the Jets and the Giants and what you see out of them. We'll get to all that. But I wanted to mention this, Bart, on the Jets side of things. So during that abomination of a game is Mekhi Becton, the left tackle who has been out with an injury, will be back this season but still is out right now. So he's watching from home, and he tweets during the game, "Unleash Mims." And that certainly, and he means Denzel Mims, the second-year wide receiver, who you have been questioning from the very beginning of the season, is why isn't this guy a part of this offense? Why does he have to work his way into the lineup? And then when he gets there, you don't really see him featured at all, and you think he's a great talent that could help a guy like Zach Wilson. Mims did play in this game, 3 targets, 2 catches, 33 yards. He did have the 1 catch for 27 yards. But the fact that Becton is now also saying unleash Mims, what does that tell you?
It's a problem. Oh, I thought we were going to break. Oh
no, I'm asking.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you something. This is a problem because
then
now
we'll go to break.
But potentially, what you're going to have is a fractured locker room. Because listen, you can see it in the body language. Mims comes out; he's trying to be a professional. He's trying to do his job. But you know, he was given promises last year, right? When he was drafted, and he came in, he lived up to expectations. I know he was injured early on, but he showed flashes of a good football player. And now he comes in, new regime, and all of a sudden they don't like.
And
he
missed their offseason stuff because he had the food poisoning,
that wasn't his fault.
Set him back, right? But he did miss a lot of things that would have caught him up, and they're using that.
That's their
reason.
That's a BS excuse. Because guess what? Now, don't tell me Elijah Moore knows all 3 positions as a rookie in his league. No receiver comes in and knows all 3 positions. And I think that he's playing out of position anyway.
Elijah Moore had 2 targets and did not catch a ball.
Right, and Elijah Moore ate. Doing what? In the slot. He ate in college being in the slot.
No, that's
and
now you're Crowder.
Now you're playing him on the outside. It's enough catches and enough plays for Crowder and Moore to be in the slot. But I think you have to put Mims on the outside. And the fact that Becton said that understands that, hey, this guy is being held back. It's not his fault. He needs an opportunity. He makes us better. For a player like that to tweet that, let him eat. That lets you know. And when you see him go on the sideline, look what happens. He goes on the sideline, and everybody goes to him and pats him on the back.
You've always said that. The players will tell you who should play. The players will always tell you who should play. So keep an eye on that situation. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll finish up with your calls and the best of NFL Week 5 that we will hit. Coming up next, Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll finish with your calls and overreactions and everything else. What, I mean, this is, again, we're just recapping the weekend. Never mind what happened on Sunday, because there's plenty of that. Of course, Tom Brady throwing 5 touchdowns. And the Cardinals stay unbeaten. The Bills and what they did last night to Kansas City, sending a message, and maybe the AFC Championship goes through Buffalo when we get to January.
Go through that weather.
Browns, Chargers, 1,000 yards of offense, crazy ending there. A defense pulling an offensive player into the end zone. No, you are going to score this touchdown, and you'll like it. Madness.
I don't want to score. You won't score.
I don't want to go in the end zone. Yeah, I mean, just absolute mayhem. And then kickers just missing kicks all over the place. What was it? Is it 12 missed?
13 would have been a record. They tied the most.
Insane, man. Just absolutely insane.
5-1 game.
If you missed anything from today's show, of course, you can get anywhere you get your podcast. Bart and Han, the podcast, the show is up there. You can subscribe and not miss a damn thing. That's, of course, what you want to do. But there's that. There's the Fury Wilder fight. We talked about that earlier in the show as well, and just what that became, an epic, a memorable fight, that even Wilder losing, something about that felt like, for him, a little personal victory of courage that a lot of people question that about him. College football, Alabama goes down, the Red River Shootout. What a game that was. Just so many different things on Saturday. And then the baseball. 2 crazy stadiums, the Rays and the Red Sox, and you got all kinds of ground rules in play, and they play today, and the Rays could be eliminated tonight. Could be eliminated, a team we thought could have a chance to get to the World Series. So all that going on, and we got your calls to go with it. So let's go. Let's see. Oh, I liked it. Tim in South Carolina with a very interesting take here. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, yeah, I know at the Browns game this weekend, a lot of people said that Baker Mayfield showed that he's a baller and can lead this team. I see it as completely the opposite. This team has 2 Pro Bowl running backs, 2 terrific wideouts, 2 tight ends, 3 offensive linemen that are Pro Bowlers, a solid fullback, and still there are probably 25 other quarterbacks that could have done more with this combination than Baker Mayfield did. There are 2 games against top teams that the rest of the team brought Baker Mayfield to the end, and he's the one that lost it at the end or didn't do enough to bring it in. Is he the kind of quarterback that can take Kevin Stefanski's team past the second round of the playoffs?
I mean, you know what, Tim? You bring up something that is a really interesting thing that we can get into a little bit deeper even tomorrow if you want, Bart. And that is simply that is this. How many quarterbacks in the NFL would you have believed could have won that game?
I said 15.
They had 90 seconds to get downfield. How many? 15 quarterbacks, 15. If not for Baker. And it's only because Baker's just, he's not a downfield kind of guy. You have Odell Beckham Jr., and you can't.
The issue is when you need Baker to come up big, he can't come up big. When that team has a superstar. You heard Herbert's coach. He's a superstar. You wouldn't say that about Baker Mayfield. You've never heard Stefanski say, Baker Mayfield's a superstar.
But with a running game, he's good enough. With a good defense and a running game, you can get away with it.
But at some point, you come against something where you need your quarterback, not your running game. You don't have enough time. You have to do it with your arm. And he hasn't shown that he can do that. Hell, they didn't even get past the 50-yard line with a minute. We watched Aaron Rodgers get down to field goal range with 2 throws.
Unbelievable. Well, Kirk Cousins did it. In how many seconds against Detroit?
Lamar Jackson.
37 seconds?
Lamar Jackson does it.
I mean, it can be done, but boy, in Cleveland, they love him. They love him in Cleveland.
The crazy thing is that it's often done.
Yeah.
It's just not done with Baker Mayfield.
Quarterback draft, man, think about that quarterback draft. My God, if you can go back in time, but we cannot. But we can go forward, and Bart will continue tomorrow.
I holla.
Hey, it's Greeny, and Tuesday should be jam-packed with a full schedule of baseball postseason action and a good game on Monday Night Football. We'll see you then. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Han, the podcast.